that we receive His grace in the Beloved or in Christ. In our study tonight, I want to talk with you a little bit farther about how we benefit from the blessings that are offered unto us through His blood in verse 7. As He said, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. In our last study, we talked about several things that the blood of Christ does. And you'll remember this chart as I believe it was about the last one that we looked at. And we noted in verse 7 of chapter 1, as the writer tells us, redemption is in His blood. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, noting that we are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver or gold, but with precious blood as of the Lamb or of a Lamb. And then in our Romans study, open your Bible, if you will, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and begin reading in verse 23. Christopher, would you mind to help me out with some of these? Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 23. And read down through verse 26, please. Romans 3, 23 through 26. All right, in verse 23, we've noted that all commit sin. In order for sin to be forgiven, there has to be a sufficient sin offering. That's what the word propitiation means. We see it also used in 1 John chapter 2, how that Jesus is a propitiation, not for their sins only, but for us also. A sin offering that is accomplished through His blood. The blood of Christ justifies. In Romans chapter 5, we talked about the tremendous love that God has for us and how that He has justified us through the blood of His Son. In the Hebrew letter, in the 13th chapter, we talked about that in some degree when we talked about the 13th chapter as it contains a host of admonitions. But we noted in verse 12 that we are sanctified through His blood. 1 John chapter 1, we've discussed that in various lessons in times gone by too. I want you to turn to that if you would and note beginning at verse 6. 1 John 1 verse 6. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanseth us from all sin. You see that thought extended into the second chapter in verse 2, again, when he speaks of the propitiation that is offered to us through His blood. So the blood of Christ cleanses us. The blood of Christ, and I think we looked at Revelation 1 verse 5, also looses or washes away our sins. In Ephesians 2, those of you now in our authority class are well familiar with this, right? Ephesians 2, we learn that it is through the blood of Christ that we are made nigh. Now, in the context of Ephesians chapter 2, there are two groups of people being discussed. Who are they? Those who are near and those who are far off. Who are they? The Jews and the Gentiles. Who was it that was afar off? The Gentiles, and the writer then says that they are made nigh through the blood of Christ. Colossians 1 provides peace. The blood of Christ, Acts 20, 28, again, authority class, that's a well familiar passage to you, that we are purchased, or the church is purchased by the blood of Christ. Now, we can see all kinds of significance to the blood of Christ, and note that the Hebrew writer said, where is it? Hebrews 9, 22, I believe, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, the blood of Christ is a must in order for forgiveness to take place. It was typified in the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament and what kind of sacrifice? Not just any sacrifice. All right, without spot and without blemish, it had to be perfect. And so is the Lamb of God. He had to live in the flesh and meet with temptations like we do, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, that He suffered in all points like as we are, tempted in all points rather like as we are, yet without sin. Now, if He committed any sin, then His sacrifice would not be the perfect Lamb of God, and furthermore, He would not be who He claimed to be. But then that would mean that any one of us could have offered our blood as the sacrifice for sins. But His is perfect, without spot, and without blemish. Now, I need some readers. Randy, I need two more. Carolyn and Jenny, please, in that order. Beginning, Randy, in Matthew chapter 26, read beginning at verse 26 through verse 28, please. Matthew 26, 26 through 28. Well, yeah, but I want you to begin at verse 26. Yes, please.
While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins."
All right, what's the setting taking place here?
Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper. He's instituting the Lord's Supper. And when He speaks concerning the blood in verse 28, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for or unto the remission of sins." Well, my button doesn't work. But when you look up at the left-hand part of the chart, and you see that He said the blood of the new covenant, why does the Lord speak of His blood as being the blood of the new covenant? What was the significance of blood as it pertained to the old covenant? It sealed the old covenant. What does His blood do to the new covenant? It seals the new covenant. Now, notice why it was offered. Blood was shed for the remission of sins. As we've noted earlier, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Now, Carolyn, if you would read for me Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, please. All right, notice if you would please that His blood, here's one that works, His blood was shed for the remission of sins. But yet Romans 6 tells us that we are buried with Him in baptism. His blood was shed in His death. How then do we appropriate the blood of Christ to the sinner? When do we come in contact with the blood? When we're buried with Him in baptism. Now, Randy, let's read, I'm sorry, Jenny, would you read Acts 2, specifically verse 38? If you'd like, you can begin at verse 36 through verse 38.